You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, all you friendly Force users out there. Welcome to another episode of Echo Station Podcast, The Mando Fetso. I'm Ian, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Chris.
Hello, all.
And we are recapping episodes 12 and 13 of The Mandalorian today. Two extremely good episodes.
Yes, big episodes.
I mean, this season is just like better than the season one altogether so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I was actually thinking for episode 13, I was looking at it and I was like, God, I feel like the season is almost over. Like, we've had so much, but it's only episode 5. It's only episode 5.
But we only have 3 more left after this.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I have no more episodes already.
Oh, yeah, like that, it could just end with this and it'll be good.
I wouldn't be happy, but it feels like it's been that much.
It's a lot to pack into a season. Very much so. So to kick things off, we have a bit of sad news in the Star Wars galaxy. The man behind the mask and suit for Darth Vader in episodes 4, 5, and 6, Dave Prowse, has passed away.
It's very, very sad.
Yes,
we are down
broke.
To 3 members of the
OG cast.
Yeah.
Which is Anthony Daniels, Harrison Ford, and Mark Hamill. Protect them all with your lives.
I can't deal with 2020 if this happens.
Oh, if anything happens to any one of them, I will literally just go into a medically induced coma and not wake up until I don't know when.
Not fair.
Not cool. Not cool, 2020.
No. But to be fair, he was not young.
He was 85, you know, I think. 83.
Quite a good age, lived very interesting, cool life. So.
Yes. He'll be sorely missed. I know that the past, I think, 2 or 3 years, people were saying that he stopped doing autographs and stopped doing conventions and stuff like that. So, you know, fans were kind of assuming that maybe things were going on the downhill slope. They just didn't really know how bad it was until, you know, this happened.
Well, and it's sometimes, I feel like with people who are very physically active or living, it either really does well for your end of lifetime kind of thing, or it just screws up your body. And I think it's a little column A.
And he was a professional, was it bodybuilder, right? Or weightlifter?
I believe so. I believe he was a professional weightlifter.
Yeah.
But he was also, he was a professional swordsman.
Yes. And that showed obviously with, you know, his dueling in 4, 5, and 6. But yeah, sad news. He'll be sorely missed. So raise a glass to our OG Sith Lord, Dave Prowse. To you, good sir.
Yes.
Another bit of, I guess, personal news for me. I am a stupid whore, and
I knew this.
No, I bought a Topps Mandalorian hobby box of the trading cards, so that should be coming sometime next week. So I'm gonna be opening that up. I don't know if I'm gonna do it live or not, but there's at least, it's guaranteed one autograph or one sketch card in there, so don't know what I'm gonna quite get. But it comes with a really cute, like, Mandalorian helmet tin. Yeah, it's really, really cute. So I bought that off of eBay because I was like, why not?
Cool.
I might post my hits on the Twitters whenever I no. Oh, speaking of which, though, this is another kind of funny thing. So I'm in a trading card group on Facebook for Tops and stuff, and before, her autograph was like sought after, super pricey, and when I say that it has gone down significantly in price, I'm not kidding you.
Well, that's good.
Like, a lot. Like, usually her autograph would go for between, depending on the card, if like an on card auto or a sticker auto, depending on, you know, what it is, Yeah. It would go anywhere between like 200 to 600.
Wow.
And yeah, like, but it depends on the card and, you know, if it's on card or stick, but whatever. But like her on card autos, which are the autos that are more sought after, I've seen people selling them for no more than like 200, but normally they sell them for like six.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
So.
Don't be a douche.
Yikes. Big yikes. Nope. Other than that, do you have any Star Wars news you can think of?
No. That's it. Oh, I mean, I'll plug this in, even though, you know what? No, it's not even worth plugging because it'll be over by the time you guys hear me.
Oh, no.
Never mind.
Oh, okay. two bits.
Oh, no, I was going to say that something that Squadrons is on sale, but it ends tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Actually, I lied. There's two other pieces of news I just thought of. Ha ha ha. So, Star Wars Squadrons is getting an update. It got an update already this month with a new map and new skins. And then next month in December, we're getting two new ships. We're getting the TIE Defender and the B-Wing.
Sweet. I love B-Wings.
Both sought after and very highly requested ships for DLC. And they're giving it to us for free, which is even better. So I cannot wait to fly either of those. And so, yes, Squadrons has been very, very fun. And I've just been having a blast with it. And then another bit of news is that we are, as of now, it could change by the time this episode comes out, we are 10 away from 150 followers.
Woohoo!
So, Chris and I were talking, and I mean, it's not, we see these other podcasts that have, you know, 2,500 people following them and whatnot, and we're just like this little rinky dinky dog and pony show going, hello! Notice
it's fine,
us,
we're just babies. We like what we do, and that's all that matters.
Exactly. And so we're thinking if we can get to 150 or 160, we don't know yet, by the time the new year rolls around, we will probably be doing another giveaway like we did last time. And so that was a lot of fun to put together and ship out to people. So stay tuned for that. We're still discussing it. We're still... clamoring over ideas, but yeah, it's on the horizon.
We've got goodies. We've got lots of goodies.
Many and many
nice.
Goodies.
It would be nice. Yeah. We'll make we'll drop some announcements on our Twitter and whatnot.
Correct. Yes. You can follow us at Echo Station Cast on the Twitters. So
on the Twitters.
On the Twitters. But that about does it for us news wise. So we're gonna go to a quick commercial break. And then we're going to start discussing episodes 12 and 13 of Mandalorian, so stay tuned, guys. Let's talk about episode 12, shall we?
Let's do it.
This episode was directed by Carl Weathers.
Yes, Carl Weathers.
And I think he needs to direct more episodes in the future.
Right? Like, I had no idea that Carl Weathers did... directing. I just know him as Carl Weathers.
Oh, I didn't either, and this shocked me completely. I was like, oh, this is quite nice.
Oh, the fantastic episode.
Yeah,
and I really liked the building that he did for his own character.
He became a sassy pants.
Yeah, I love it. I love his character. I like that he's like, I am embracing being the good guy in charge, and this is happening.
He became Mr. Sassafras, and I loved it.
Yeah.
So Mando, he's like, I gotta get my ship repaired from this, like, weird Mon Calamari vibe that's going on right now. So let me land on a planet that I know people won't fuck it up.
Down again.
Yeah. Poor ship. Poor ship.
Like, there's a meme that's going around that is, it's basically, like, The Mandalorian as a book. The Mandalorian, and it's this giant book, right? And then it's Mandalorian, if the ship stopped breaking down, and it's really tall, like just this really small book.
Oh, that's a sad comparison.
It's not untrue.
No, it's very true. So yeah, so he lands and he's greeted by Greef and Cara Dune. We find out Cara Dune is now the Marshal of Nevarro. Of this little...
She's the Marshal in these here parts.
Yes, and clearly there's been a time jump because her hair is a little bit longer. She has a few different armor pieces on, and Greef has like a white beard now and new fancy clothes, so...
Yeah, he's looking all in charge and magistrate person type thing.
But first off, can we talk about the fact that Cara Dune completely kicked ass in the armor's armory with all those people?
Yes, I loved that. Oh, God, I just love the character so much. Dang it.
I know.
So freaking it sucks.
And she makes like, a little ugly ferret friend.
Cool character.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's not, it's, we're very torn, if you can not tell.
Yeah. But yeah, so she kicks some ass, rescues some stuff that doesn't belong to the people who took it.
She meets a new friend.
Meets a new friend.
Her little ugly ferret friend.
Yes.
Who, I think he's adorable, but...
I thought, no one I love ferrets, but I feel like you either love ferrets or you hate ferrets. There's no in between.
It's kind of like possums. Like, either you love them or you hate them.
Possums are scary.
But they're really cute.
They're scary. Yeah.
We have, like, three that live under my parents' backyard or under their porch, and so they feed them all the time.
They have diseases. Don't do that.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
That's a common misconception.
I will continue to conceive that.
Well, at least the ones in my parents' house don't have diseases, so far as we know. But anyway, so yeah, Cara Dune kicks some ass. She clearly, they show off her wrestling moves because she just, like, throws, I think, three or four people just into walls at one point, which is very funny to me.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And I was like, that's oh, yeah, cool. And I was like, oh, but I'm liking this. Damn.
I know.
Yeah. And so... This episode, people are saying, you know, it's, I think it's not necessarily a filler episode, but...
Oh, God, no, I didn't think it was a filler at all.
Because I've seen some people go like, oh, this is kind of like episode two, where it's just a filler. I'm like, it's not, though.
No, it's not. No, because, first of all, they were main characters from the last season.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone back to check in on them. Exactly. And we also made... We also learned some pretty big things.
Oh, yes.
Because of what he ended up doing there at the end of the episode. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, this wasn't a filler. This completely moved the plot along.
I agree.
And, again, working with the, you know, showing the world building and showing, I like that it's, you know, actually showing what can happen, what can flourish once the Empire and their heavy influence has been removed.
Right? It's kind of like, you know, after a forest fire, things look really crappy, but then they start to bloom again.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, the place looked great, and nice things were actually happening. They've got an educational system, justice system.
They have a school!
They have a school, it's adorable. And, you know, it's nice to not just see, you know, like, in the sequel series, everything kind of sucked.
Yeah,
like we get Jakku, and we get, you know, a couple other planets that it just seems like things are back to square one with everything sucks under the Empire. So it was nice to see things getting to be normal again, getting to actually be a flourishing society again.
Completely fair. Yeah. Did you also notice that a certain statue resurrected in the town square?
Oh my God, it's so sad.
Did you see it?
Yes.
It took me a second viewing to see it because I didn't realize until someone pointed out on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw. And it's very fitting that they care that much about him. I mean, well, he saved their lives, so that makes sense.
Okay, so let's talk about the fact that they have a school real quick. Let's talk about this scene because it's a very cute scene.
It's super cute.
You see all these little kids like being taught by a protocol droid. And did you notice that one of the girls' hairstyles was Rey's hairstyle?
Oh, I did not. No, I did not.
Yeah, she has like the three buns in the back. It's really cute.
That's cute.
So The Proko droid is teaching about, you know, the Republic and all that stuff, and Mando's like, well, I can't leave the kid here, and he's like, no, of course you can, it's school, it's where kids belong.
It's school, you gotta leave him here, let's go talk shop.
And so they pop him in a desk. I guess that kid was sick that day.
Is it just a random open desk?
Well, okay. I'm gonna assume he was sick.
Yes.
And little baby notices a kid eating some cookies. But they really, what are they called?
Which for the cookie connoisseurs out in the world, they're macarons.
Macarons, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And so, which Chris and I are a fan of, by the way. We love a good macaron. They're very, very yummy.
Oh, huge fan.
And so he's like looking at me, he's like, oh, he just looks at that little bastard of a kid says, no, none for you. And I was like, I'm gonna throw hands.
Right? How can you deny something that cute?
I'm gonna throw hands at this kid, I swear to God. And so Yoda's like, fuck you, kid. And so the baby he forces him over to his desk, and he's just not one on the rest of the episode, and that's pure justice, and I loved it.
Yes.
It's what he does
well, best. Nice to see him. Nice to know that he doesn't eat just meat. So now, you know, now we know.
Right? Yeah, he you know, there's other things that he will digest.
He also has a sweet tooth. It's good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
And so they are, they're going to go talk shop, and they're greeted by the Mithril, who was in the very first episode of season one. He was the one who he threw in carbonite, and he was like, wait, why are you here? Turns out,
I love that guy.
He owes a bit of a debt to Greef, so Greef is letting him pay it off over like 100 some odd years or something like that. It's very funny.
Yeah, he's good comic relief.
Yeah, he was good. The whole episode actually was filled with a bunch of funny stuff, and I was very happy with it.
It was, yeah.
So yeah, it turns out there's an old Imperial base that's not too heavily guarded. That they're like, well, we gotta get this, you know, we gotta get their influence completely out of here. This is ridiculous. Let's just...
Well, they've got a bunch of weapons and stuff they wanna...
Yes.
Gotta clear it.
They wanna steal the weapons and get them off our planet. So they take a speeder to said base, basically, and full-on chaos ensues.
Yes. The intel was wrong.
And I'll let you take it from here.
Okay, so they take the speeder out, and so this is a lava planet. So they're kind of going in these, like, canyon channels that have been carved out by the lava flows that actually ebb and flow, that come in like a tide, the lava tides. So they're kind of racing against the clock. So they get in on the ground. They're trying to get in on the ground floor before the lava comes back. And it's not working. They're not able to, like, break in. And so, you know, Mando just does the Mando thing and skyrockets up to...
He pushes away.
Guess, like, the landing platform?
Yeah.
Yeah. And knocks out a few troopers and takes the elevator back down and lets them in. And so they were going. Oh, so then what's his name? Comic relief guy. What is his name?
Mithril.
Blanking. Yeah. So Mithril was like, "Okay, cool guys. I'm just gonna take my speeder, and you just give me a call when you're ready to leave."
Right. Yeah, I'll be your Uber.
Chris, like, yeah, that's. Yeah, I'm your Uber. Yeah, Chris, like, that's not happening. You're coming with us. So he gets dragged. He gets dragged along on this crazy mission. So they're going through. They're, you know, they're basically the idea is that they're going to shut down whatever stops the lava from coming in and overheating the whole place. I don't quite understand the technical logistics behind that. But yeah, basically, yeah, that. So they're trying to make their way over there. And as they're going, they figure out that there are a lot more people in this compound than there should be from what their intel was. And like it seems to be quite an active operation, which is really strange. So you know, they get to this lava shaft thing. Once again, we're reminded that the Empire breaks all OSHA codes and never has any freaking handrails.
And they comment never on this handrails.
They went meta with that. They're like, why are there no handrails?
I absolutely love weird. This episode had a bunch of callbacks to the original trilogy, both in sound effects and like things that they do, and it's very funny.
Yeah, so this was very much like the shutting down of the tractor beam on Death Star 1 in the first movie.
Poor Mithril's like, the fuck, guys, I can't. This is some bullshit.
Yeah, but they make him do all the things, so it's very comical. But anyway, yeah, so they get it done, and they manage to get out of there. Of course, they're under attack, and they find themselves in a room, where there are two officers who are like, wipe the drives,
get rid of all,
purge everything, you know, which is, you know, always a good indicator that you should probably stop them.
It was like the scene, just picture the scene at like, you know, at Enron. This is just, you know,
like for those Enron of you old enough to remember meets what Watergate. Like, yeah. Or Watergate, yeah. They're just tossing stuff into the shredders. Yeah, they're like, get rid of it.
Burn everything.
So they managed to stop them mostly so that they can pick up a transmission from our friendly clone doctor.
Yes.
Yeah, and so a little aside. Oh, what is it? What is that actor's name? I'm blanking on it, which is dumb because I follow him on Twitter.
Who played the doctor? You mean?
Yeah.
Give me 2 seconds. I'll find it for you. Okay. Omid Ab. Oh boy, this is a name I can't pronounce. Omid Ab.
All right, so Omid.
I can't say it. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, we're sorry for butchering your name, but you're a really cool guy. And he tweeted that one of his lifelong dreams, ever since he was a kid and he first saw Star Wars, was that he thought the hologram messages were so cool. And he always wanted to be a hologram message. And now he's a hologram message. And I thought that was really sweet. It was really cute.
I saw that. It was very cute, very sweet.
Yeah. So he's sending out a message about, you know, about what they're working on. So basically the sample that they've got, they got from the child when Mando had temporarily given the child back to them. They'd taken a very small blood sample, and they couldn't take very much more because, again, tiny child.
Yes.
And so they pretty much run out of material, but they were having issues with the M count.
Here we go.
We all know.
Here we go.
Midichlorians.
And you know good and hell well they did not say midichlorians because that's triggering to most people, so they said M count.
Oh, so triggering. I was like, that's hilarious. They're only going to call it the M count. That's sly.
Like,
yeah.
We have to say something, but we don't know how.
Something. It was like being able to stabilize the clones. It wasn't working. So if this doesn't tie in to the sequel movies, I would be very surprised.
You know it's going to.
It's got to tie in to Palpatine. To Sheev trying to make a bunch of clones of himself.
Good old Papa Sheev.
Because he talked about so many of the clones failing.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, like, there's something about Force users and clones that does not mix, is what I'm getting from this. Because, you know, we had no problem making a bajillion Jango Fetts.
Right.
But cloning a Force user seems to be an issue.
So there's two ways this is probably going to go, and we'll talk about the other way in a few minutes when we talk about the end, what we saw at the very end of this episode. But I agree. Something is happening. They're using these midichlorians for one of two ways, which one of them is probably going to be because of, you know, how do we get this into a host that, you know, how do we basically transfer this life force into the host like this? And it's kind of a blink and you miss it line because he's in a hologram, so it kind of breaks up a little bit, but you gotta, you know, really pay attention. You're just like, oh. So that's what they wanted him for. Interesting.
Yeah.
So
basically, I think that all ties back to Palpatine.
Oh, it has to. But they find out all this stuff, and Mando's like, oh no, the kid, he's in school. So
yeah, well, but also because he was sending this message to Moff Gideon.
Yes, and Mando's like,
that can't be. He's dead. This must be an old message. It's fine. And then Mithril's like, no, this was sent 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So then it's like, dun, dun, dun! Yeah, and then we rush back to the school.
Yeah, and so Mando jetpacks away because Kara's like, you're faster on the jetpack. Get out of here. So he takes out a bunch of troopers, and they're making their way down the hall. Oh, we have to talk about this. We cannot not talk about this. And for those of you who know, now they pulled a Game of Thrones, and when they're in a hallway, in a hallway shootout, you notice a man in jeans, a shirt, and an Apple Watch.
Yeah, he's just sitting there with his hand in his pocket, probably watching this all going down, thinking, damn, I am so lucky I had to work on a Star Wars.
And it got past the editing crew. It's a really fast blink and you miss it shot. And since then, Disney has gone in and edited it out. Oh yeah, Twitter was a buzz. People have made like 3D printed action figures of it already. People have made mock versions of it. It is hilarious.
They should have just left it in and embraced the fact that, you know what, mistakes happen. Whatever.
Well, did Lydia tell you that we want the Walking Farnsworth now to cosplay as him?
Just like a half of a built wall and a guy sticking out of it.
Yes,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, and we want fantastic. To take that celebration, and it would be the best costume of celebration.
Yes, and just be in the background of everybody's photos.
Yep. So that would be awesome. Celebration 2022, we might have a fun costume for y'all to see.
I like it because it reminds me again. Throwing back to the original series, there are so many bloopers from original series that make it so interesting. You know, like the stormtrooper hitting his head on the top of the doorway. Yep. I love that stuff. I love that stuff. Luke calling Leia Carrie and, you know, things like that.
Obviously know why they edited it out, just because it is so glaring, like a human, like Earth person is there. Like, those are not space clothes. I get it, but it was still very funny.
I'm just absolutely shocked that was missed. Somebody got fired over this. I feel really bad about it.
I hope no one got fired, but I hope they got like a stern talking to saying, hey, watch it.
This is what happens when you pull late nighters.
Right, but yeah, you know they were like scrambling going, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck. As soon as that news broke, which is very funny to me. But, so, Mando jetpacks off, and he goes and rescues the child. The child wasn't in any danger. Kara, Greef, and Mithril are pinned down on a landing platform.
They kick some ass.
That was cool. They do. And then they get into, like, this troop transport that has been covered up. So originally, I believe it was originally a Kenner action figure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it got reintroduced in Rebels as canon. And now it's in Mando, which is cool. So
yeah. So it works like a land speeder. It does not fly. It floats. It hovers.
Correct. And it can hold people on the inside and outside as well.
Yes, and it's kind of like it's almost like a tank, because it's got a large,
like turret,
rotating gun turret at the top of it. But the weird thing to me is, why is it open? Like, why are there just open pieces?
Oh, like
why wouldn't you have the whole thing armored? Yeah,
I don't know.
That's so weird. It's not a freaking postal truck. Wait, who designed that?
It's not a USPS.
It doesn't need to be permanently open. Yeah, it's so weird. I just think that's such a bizarre design element.
Yeah, because you get like one good sniper shot in there and they're all dead, so that's a very fair assumption.
Well, exactly. And I was like, oh shit, they're in trouble because they literally cannot take full cover. I just, it baffles me from a military standpoint why this thing would ever maybe be used to transport troops.
Well, maybe it was under a tarp, just because, like, maybe they were doing repairs on it and they took out the, like, windshield of it. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
It was dry docked for a reason, so I'm going to assume that maybe that was why.
Sure.
It's our new canon.
Questions.
So we get, one of the coolest shots of the episode, if not the coolest shot, is them racing off the landing pad and then being pursued by like four or five scout troopers on speeder bikes. And it's a really cool shot of them going down the cliffs, and like three scout troopers are idiots and they all crash and die. So there's only like two or three more left.
No, three scout troopers are exactly like anybody who would ever be on a scout bike.
That would be us.
Those things are so, like, I immediately was thrown back to playing Battlefront. And I was like, that tracks.
Oh, I hate riding a speeder bike in Battlefront because I'm like, this is going too fast. I don't know what to do.
Funny enough, I'm really, really good at the speeder bikes.
Nope, I am not.
Really good.
I remember
but
one time.
That, it's a steep learning curve. It's a very steep learning curve.
Side story. I remember one time I was playing it and I got on and I was being pursued by someone. So I just hit the full, you know, boost on it. And I literally crashed into like a stump no more than 10 feet away from me. It was get on. It was get on, power on, go, kaboom.
Yeah. Hey, so when you were a kid, did you ride your bike and totally pretend like you were on a speeder bike?
No.
What is wrong with you? You're not a true Star Wars fan.
No, that was me being ashamed of that I did that, yes.
Oh. That was one of my favorite things to play as a kid, was to get on my bike with all of my friends and to zip around the neighborhood and into the forest and just play full Return of the Jedi on speed bikes.
See, I did it more so because I had one of those like mongoose speeders, or not speeders, mongoose like power scooters. So mine was like electronic. Dang, so I could, you know, I could actually, like, it went, I think, like 25 miles an hour, so I could actually like zoom and go fast.
Wow, that's crazy. No, I had a regular foot-powered one.
Oh, I have one of those too, but then I was like, I want something different. And so, me being the firstborn grandchild, I got spoiled a lot by my grandparents.
You got
all the things. They're like, here, but I was never ungrateful. I was never one of those spoiled brats, so no, don't think I was. I can see all those people listening, judging.
I believe it.
Anyway. Okay, yeah.
So we get great theater pursuit episode. Yeah,
so they're in hot pursuit by now, like, I think, like I said, two speeder bikes instead of like the whole company that was supposed to go down with them.
God, they were so dumb.
It was so funny.
I think they've never done this before.
Right, and so they're taking them out, and then the building or the base at this point is gonna, it's blowing up from the inside.
Yes.
And so I really also like the shot of the TIE fighters with their wings down and everything, because that's such a cool shot of them taking off. I love that shot.
It was very cool.
You don't see that enough, and I really like that they have TIE fighters do that now, which is really cool. And so,
yeah,
now they're pursuing.
Well, I mean, they thought so. Exactly, they thought they were out of, you know, they thought they were good because they managed to outmaneuver all of the speeder bikes,
which again, not very hard.
Yeah, and then, you know, boom. TIE fighters, because of course there's TIE fighters, like, how could they not think that there wouldn't be other means of pursuing them? So they're racing basically to get back to I don't know,
the town,
the main town, whatever it's called. and as soon as they get there, boom, it's Mando and the Razor Crest has been repaired. Because apparently, as fast as it can get completely screwed up, they can repair it, evidently. So he's in there with, you know, the child right next to him, popping cookies in his mouth, and Mando just does some pretty incredible flying. Like, that was awesome.
Again, we have to give it up to director Carl Weathers here for him envisioning this, because it was great. Like, this whole episode was
great
full of action.
Aerial battle scene.
It was, yeah. We also got some, like, the cutest, I think, Baby Yoda moments so far in the season with yes. this episode.
Yeah. So he's strapped. Well, so he's like, you gotta strap in. So he's right. sitting behind him in his little seat, chowing down on the macarons. And I mean, he's pulling like all these G's, and you know it's not gonna work out well for Baby Yoda.
But you see the little Baby Yoda's hands, he's like, his hands are going up like a fucking roller coaster, and I lost it.
Oh yeah. He's like, wee! It's so adorable. It's so wee. And it reminds me of when I used to drive around.
It was so cute.
I used to drive around in this little sports car. It was the first car I had when I had my first kid. And she loved that thing. She's always like, Mom, remember your little dippy red car? Like, yes, I do. I do remember that. But we live around a really hilly area. So we would go down these really big, steep hills. And every time we did, we would be like, wee! And it totally reminded me of that. It was super cute. But yeah, so that's really cute. Dust the TIE Fighters, turns around to be like, you know, hey, that wasn't so bad. you're doing fine, right? And the child
throws up.
Bleh, just this blue mass of vomit.
And I love also because, so you're a parent, so you know the struggle for this is trying to drive with your eyes on the road, a kid throws up in the back, and you're trying to clean it up with one hand behind your back.
And your kids, no, oh God. See, no, I'm not that dumb. I will pull over. I will pull Smart. Over. I'm not gonna die to clean up my. But the fact that he turns around and starts cleaning him up with his cape, it was super adorable.
It is so good.
It's very cute. It's gonna smell, man. Oh, it's gonna smell.
I forgot another really cute Baby Yoda moment was in the very beginning when he was trying to fix the ship with him.
Oh yeah.
And the meme goes, when you lie on your resume but still get the job.
Yes, exactly.
And like he's like, take the blue wire, no, and don't touch them, make sure they don't touch, and do this. And Baby Yoda's like, okay, and they touch them, and he gets shocked, and it's the funniest thing ever.
I was like, Galactic CPS is not going to want to hear about this.
No.
We should not let them hear about this. No. They're gonna take him away.
Tee-hee so hard.
Please don't tell Ahsoka about this.
But, so Mando's like, hey, I can't stay. Thanks for the repairs, but I gotta go drop the kid off at daycare now. So, bye-bye.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, he leaves, and the Rebel pilot from episode 2 is taking down some notes. He's taking down some notes going like, so you, the Razor Crest was here, you cannot confirm or deny this. He goes, look, our nope.
That was great.
He's like, look, I mean,
he was like FBI agent coming into some country town. They're like, nope.
Yeah, nope. Mm-mm. Never heard of it. What's a Razor Crest? Nope.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And so the pilot ends up talking to Cara Dune, and he. When you text me,
he pulled
this,
her files, so he knows who she is.
Yes, and when you text me this, it was the funniest thing ever. Because so Chris texts like, me after she watched the episode. She's like, "Does the New Republic not have any like sensitivity training at all?"
It was so bad.
And so he
skipped that day.
He goes, "So I see you're from Alderaan." He goes, "What'd you end up losing?" It's like, my apartment, like, my family.
Who did you lose? And I turned to my husband and I was like, oh my god, everybody?
That's so funny.
Can you imagine going up to a fresh Holocaust survivor and being like, oh, who did you lose? What?
Don't do that, sir.
You don't do that. Oh my god, that was so terrible.
It reminds me, and I texted you, I think it's the scene in Mean Girls where they go, you can't just ask someone why they're white.
Yes. No, it was exactly like this. It was exactly like, you can't just ask somebody why they're from Alderaan.
Like, what happened to you? Oh, what God. Happened to your planet? The planet went kablooey along with my stuff. Thank you for reminding me of this. Thanks. And he's like, you should come back and join with us.
He meant well.
There's other ways of saying this, though. There's like many a different way of saying it. And so, he, like, is it a medal he gives her, right?
Yeah, he gives her basically like a special New Republic honorable, I don't know, like the Medal of Honor or something kind of thing. I don't know. Why he's just carrying around medals, so like, I don't know. That was really odd. It was very odd.
So he's like, hey, but, you know, we could use another person on the team, and so he leaves it for her. And Cara Dune deserves that medal, no question. Gina Carano does not.
Yes. Yes. But this is an opportunity for them to write her out. Because they can say, all right, well, she decided to join back with the New Republic, and now we don't see her anymore. I don't know.
I sincerely doubt they will, but it's a good idea, yes.
Yeah.
So, what would you give this episode?
You forgot the last bit.
Oh, fuck!
It was like, super important.
This episode had like 5 different endings, like Lord of the Rings, so I didn't know
they did. There were several fake-out endings.
Excuse me. Okay, so, finally, we see Moff Gideon on his ship, which is an Arquentin, a modified Arquentin, and that shot totally reminiscent of episode 4 of the opening.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very cool.
And so, we see an Imperial officer, you know, tell him basically what happened, and he is, basically like, okay, well, you know, no matter, this will still work to our advantage, you know, basically blah 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 blah. And he is surrounded by racks and racks of these troopers. And these troopers are now going to be the new shadow troopers from the EU.
Very cool.
And for those who don't know, shadow troopers are stormtroopers basically infused with the dark side of the Force. And so they're not death troopers like we saw in Rogue One, but they are Force-sensitive stormtroopers, basically, in really cool armor.
It was a big deal. It's really ominous. It was a very much blink and you'll miss it kind of moment. But very cool.
I quite enjoyed it. It was very, very fun.
We also know they put a tracking device. You forgot about that.
Oh yes, the tracking device on the ship. So
yeah, whenever they repaired the ship in super fast time, they dropped a tracking device on the Razor Crest.
Because why not?
Which is super tropey, very very tropey.
But it works.
Yeah, you know, you would think that there would be like some kind of aftermarket tracking device detector that you could put on your ship,
right?
That if you were a wanted person, you might want to have on your ship. Like, I would think that would be a thing. Like, oh, there's this unauthorized pinging coming for, you know, I don't know, coming off the ship. It's not one of ours.
Right. Should
probably take care of that. I don't know. It seems smart to me. Whatever.
Yeah.
See, if I were in the universe, I could invent that, and I could be a gajillionaire. It'd be amazing.
Oh, without question. So now I can ask you what you would rate this episode.
10 out of 10. I freaking love this episode.
Agreed.
Yes. Yeah, I love, love, love this episode. It was so well paced. It was well written. There was a ton going on, but it didn't feel like excessive. It moved the story. It built the world. There was great character development. Super cute. The child moments. I loved it all. It was awesome. It was great. Yep. 10 out of 10.
For sure.
What about you?
A 10 out of 10.
I assume the same.
Despite Gina Carano being in this episode, still 10 out of 10 without question.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, okay, whatever. She filmed this before we knew she was a terrible person. So,
right.
As long as they don't keep using her, now that we know she's a terrible person, it's fine.
Which, I don't know. I've seen a bunch of videos attacking the Star Wars people who are calling for her to be fired. So it's a very slippery slope. Please not attack us for our opinion. It's just an opinion, guys.
I just don't. I don't like fascists. I don't like fascists. I don't.
That's fair. I also don't like people who, you know, spread false and misinformation about masks and COVID. So, you know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's that.
I just like good people. I like nice people.
Good people.
If you do those things, you're not a good person. You're not a nice person.
Nope. But enough on our.
And that's not an opinion. That's a fact.
enough of our personal tangents. But yeah, 10 out of 10. Great. Carl Weathers did a fantastic job. Please have him direct more, along with like Bryce Dallas Howard and, you know, John Favreau and Dave Filoni, everyone.
Yes.
I loved it.
Everybody did a great job.
So that's episode 12, and coming up, we're going to be talking about episode 13. But before that, we're going to take another quick little commercial break, then we'll be back to talk about all the goodness of episode 13. So stay tuned, guys. And we are back. So I'm not going to scream into the microphone like I did when Bo-Katan. But holy fuck, Ahsoka's in this episode.
Yeah, and well, we knew that was happening. Okay, so first of all, I want to preface this with, we all knew this was happening. I mean, like, we've been talking about this for a year. And with everything that's happened so far in the last few episodes, you know, with people we suspected would be on, actually being on, and then with the confirmation that we were looking for Ahsoka, we knew Rosario Dawson was going to show up as Ahsoka.
Correct.
All that aside, if I didn't know that, do you know how incredibly pissed off I would be when Friday fucking morning at 6 a.m. I roll over and check my phone messages, and literally all I did was open up my phone, and within my notifications was a pop-up from Google News that said, Rosario Dawson makes surprise appearance on The Mandalorian with a picture of her as freaking Ahsoka. This was mere hours after the show even streamed. Like, why? Who are these freaking idiots who are writing spoiler titles for their articles like this? I'm sorry, but that's not journalism. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. It really pissed me off.
And
like I said, luckily, I knew this was coming, but I didn't want to see her until I saw her in the moment. And now I had to completely turn off my Google News notifications because I don't want it to happen again. And it's like, there's been minor spoilers before for other things, and it's just dumb. Like, come on. Don't put a spoiler in an article.
So here's...
title.
And here's my golden rule. This is how I follow, at least how I do my Mandalorian viewing, which I know... everyone does theirs differently, and you like to watch yours with your family and stuff like that, but since I have no family to watch them with, well, I have a family, but not, you know, live with them. And so what I do is I, you know, get up, make my breakfast. I don't even flip my phone around until I am done watching this episode, because here's the thing. I get, you know, being spoiled by the Google alerts, you know, that's not under your control. But people who gripe about being spoiled when they go onto social media, you guys got to have some kind of inkling. Like, you should know better not to be on social media before you watch the episode. And I get it's really douchey of people. I get it's douchey of people to still spoil it. I get that. That's yes. But you should still, you know, put two and two together. And, you know, people are not going to spoil it. So just come to those terms automatically, because it's not going to happen. So sorry. But... yeah, I don't check the phone, I don't do anything, I literally make my breakfast and turn on Disney Plus, and I watch it in its full glory, and then I check Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those sites.
Yeah, sadly, I don't have that option.
But no, yeah, and I really a lot of people don't either. A lot of people, you know, are still mad that, you know, they got spoiled when they can't watch until Sunday. After 48 hours, I'm sorry. Well, what really
pissed me off... let's see, but particularly for this weekend, one, because it was such a huge thing, and two, because this was Thanksgiving weekend. This show came out on Black Friday. There are so many people who have to work on Friday. They can't stay up late Thursday night to watch it. They've got to work all day Friday. They might come home, they might just be too damn tired to watch a show or even pay attention to it. So there's a good chance that they're not even going to watch until Saturday. Right. That's not fair to those people. That's totally reasonable that people aren't watching it till Saturday. It's just not, it's not right. I also had a bunch of Supernatural stuff spoiled for me, and I'm a huge Supernatural fan, so that really pissed me off, too. Ugh. Anyway.
Well, this Friday, don't look at your phone until... no social media until you can watch it.
Yes. Well, I'm usually good about that, but now that my notification's off, I feel like I'm safe, so...
Yes. But... Let's, I mean, so first off, this episode, that's our little soapbox rant, so there's that. So this episode, written and directed by Dave Filoni.
Yes.
Which, of course, it's going to be Dave's episode.
It's called The Jedi.
And I gotta say, comparing this episode to his previous two episodes they did in season one, his directing style has changed.
It's better than The Gunslinger certainly was. Because The Gunslinger was one of the worst episodes of this entire series.
Agreed.
So we literally jump right into Ahsoka.
Literally in the first, 20 seconds.
Yeah, I was totally not expecting that. I was like, oh, we're just gonna, it'll build up to it. Nope. Boom. Ahsoka.
Oh, as soon as you hear her lightsabers ignite and you see that white blade, I screamed and I got teary-eyed.
It was awesome. It was really awesome.
She...
It's just so weird to see this character in the flesh.
Right? And so she is cutting down all these guards and these militia troops, and she's a little bit darker in her fighting style than what we've seen in, the Clone Wars.
Yeah, she seems to really have embraced the whole gray Jedi thing.
Yes, and so she's cutting tree stumps in half and throwing them at people, and she's throwing people against the wall. She's kind of like Batman in that scene, because did you notice that whenever her sabers turned off, that she hid into the mist?
Yes.
And so she was very much Batman in this episode, and I very much loved it.
About force coalescing the mist around her.
Let's talk about the actress who's playing her. Let's talk about her real quick, shall we?
Yeah. Okay. So it is Rosario Dawson. It is what has been rumored for a year now. It's her. She looks great. For the most part. I said for the most part. Wait. I'm gonna get to that.
Okay.
I like the makeup. I feel like she can embody an older, war-hardened, hiding out, my people have been slaughtered version of Ahsoka.
Yes, because Ahsoka at this point is in her, I think, late 40s.
Late 40s. Because she's 20 at the end of the Clone Wars.
So, no, she's 18.
I thought she was 20 by the end of the Clone Wars. I thought it was a 5-year.
Well, she was 14 when it started. So she's 18, 19 when it ends.
Okay, yeah. No. Well, she's 40s. So mid late 40s.
Yes. I think she looks great. So I think it works too.
She looked great, except the Leku.
Yeah, and the modules.
Oh man. Yeah.
So
Leku and the modules, it just
Okay, so I don't know if you saw this or not, but the one of the concept designers, I think, or production artists, one of the two, came out on Twitter today. Yeah, today recently addressed it.
Because the internet has been going crazy about it.
Nuts. So the reasoning behind her shorter Leku and shorter mantras, with the mantras are on top, those are her horns, and the Leku are the ones that are hanging down. The reason because of that is because of the fighting and the stunts and the performance of it, which we all kind of figured that.
Yeah, that's what we all think. Okay, so basically what we're talking about is the fact that if you are familiar with Ahsoka, if you watch the Clone Wars, if you watch Rebels, if you know any kind of artwork with Ahsoka, especially older Ahsoka, they're much larger. Yes. As her species ages, her Leku and her mantras get larger. It's just, it's what happens. It's how they mature.
Correct.
Hers are not. They're much, 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 much noticeably smaller. And everybody
they're almost kind of like, the size of hers, like in like season 3 and 4 and 5 yeah. of Clone Wars. It's like teenage Ahsoka, yeah. basically.
They're very baby teenage Ahsoka. It's kind of, and it looks for, I mean, it doesn't, if you know nothing about it, it doesn't look awkward, but if you know Ahsoka to be who she's supposed to be, it looks weird.
Yes.
So yeah, so we were all figuring it probably had something to do with being able to actually perform the stunt choreography, and that was confirmed today.
But at the same time, my thing is like,
what's CGI?
You have Shaak Ti, who's in Attack of the Clones, and she's fighting on Geonosis, and they're doing some fight scenes with her and stuff. So
this is true, like, but I mean, but that doesn't mean that Rosario wasn't able to. I mean, it was Rosario couldn't do it.
And I mean, I get, you know, obviously Shaak Ti wasn't flipping around doing backflips and stuff. So
yeah. But this is why CGI exists. You know, I love practical effects. I love practical makeup. But if we have the technology and you're Disney, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Maybe they'll take this into consideration and maybe have them a little bit longer if we do get to see her again.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. It's an interesting choice that they made, but otherwise she looks pretty great. I love her outfit. Oh, she does have like weird creases on the Leku. Really weird creases. Do you notice those?
I
noticed
that too. Yeah. I don't know if that's just because like of the fabric or the material they're made out of, or if they were supposed to look more lifelike with the creases, yeah. but I don't know.
It was weird because I was trying to figure it out. I was like, okay, you know, if they're creases from where they bend, like, so they're like literally like old age wrinkles from usage, it would be one thing, but they never bent at that point.
Yeah,
I watched closely because it annoyed me. And no, they never bent at the point where those creases were. And so my friends and I, who we all are, well, in YouTube, we're all Leku owners, we're all proud Leku owners.
Yes, we are.
We think it's because of what the material they used, and that they should have asked the cosplay community and done this on their own.
Almost be like a foam latex, which I can see that happening.
Yeah. I think it was foam latex and not silicone.
Silicone doesn't necessarily do that, but it could be. It could be some weird grade of silicone. I don't know. But no, she looked great. Her eyes looked really pretty. The markings look great.
The costume was beautiful.
Yes, we never seen her in all black before, so this was a different departure that we've seen.
Very, very, very much. Again, I think how, you know, we're into the gray Jedi territory. Mm-hmm. Looks very cool.
She had MC Hammer / Aladdin pants.
Yeah, those were awesome.
She had her gray cloak. And then I also love that she wasn't necessarily trying to emulate Ashley Eckstein's voice, but she did sound a lot like Ahsoka.
She was hitting the right intonations.
Yes.
So I would like to believe that she just binged the Clone Wars.
Oh yeah. Well, and also, I mean, Rosario Dawson's obviously a fan of Ahsoka because like 2 or 3 years ago she said at a convention once that she would love to play a live action Ahsoka.
Yeah. And she's a nerd. Rosario Dawson's a nerd. We know this.
And so despite the controversy surrounding her, which I just actually checked, those charges against her were dropped in August.
Some of them.
The ones against Rosario specifically were dropped.
Oh, yeah.
There's one, I think, against her mom.
So I don't know.
But anyway.
I don't know what to make of it.
I thought Rosario Dawson did a fantastic job as Ahsoka.
I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it a lot. And, you know, when this first came out, that it was going to be Rosario before the controversy, we were all on board because she's a fantastic actress. She's really cool. And we all thought that she would bring something very interesting to the universe, to that character, and it came to fruition. So
So let's talk about who else is in this episode real quick. So we have Michael Biehn as a character named Lang, and if that name sounds familiar to you, he was in Aliens, he was in Terminator, basically anything that James Cameron has done almost he's been in.
Yeah.
And we have Diana Lee, I'm going to say this last name completely wrong, Diana Lee Inosanto, I believe, as Morgan.
She was fantastic.
Elsbeth, who is the
the magistrate.
Yeah, magistrate, thank you. I couldn't think of the word. I'm like, dictator person?
Yep. The dictator? Yeah, the magistrate. I kept calling Lang, was it? Yeah. I kept calling him Dengar. Like, he had this just Dengar vibe to me.
I don't know, when she texted me Dengar was in this, I was like, where the fuck was Dengar?
he just had this, like, Dengar without the bandages vibe to me. So that's my headcanon.
That's fair. So basically, so this whole entire episode, it's the magistrate is has information that Ahsoka wants, and she is basically, you know, gonna kill off her whole these people until Ahsoka, you know, lays down her arms and surrenders and whatnot. And so Mando comes to town, and you know, she has this pure Beskar steel spear.
Mando comes to town specifically looking for Ahsoka, but does not say that yet.
Correct. And she's like, you kill this Jedi, the spear is yours. And he's like, well, where can I find this Jedi? Make my job a whole lot easier. Just tell me where she is.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just kill two birds with one stone here.
Right. And so leaves, goes and finds Ahsoka. We find out that Beskar steel can block lightsabers.
Yes. So this is actually a throwback to Expanded Universe stuff. There is this, it may have been called Beskar, I don't remember, it's been a really long time, but it's mentioned in the Thrawn trilogy. So it was on Coruscant and other places, people who could actually afford this, who were like really really high up, you know, high ranking politicians and sovereigns and whatnot, who needed protection, had their doors built out of this material because it could stop lightsabers.
Mm.
So I thought that was an interesting callback to that.
Interesting.
Yeah. They keep picking up like little bits here and there from the expanded universe. It's nice to see.
Oh yeah. So, you know, he says that Bo-Katan has sent him. And she's like, well, I hope it's to talk about this little guy. And so she communicates the Force with Baby Yoda, but now we can no longer call him Baby Yoda because we find out his name is Grogu.
Grogu, not Goku.
I texted her and I was like, did anyone else think this was Goku? Did I? Because I posted on a messaging board too, and people were like, yeah, a few people were like, we thought it was Goku as well. I'm like, okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, no, I had to pause it and rewind it 4 or 5 times to hear what the hell she was saying.
And, of course, it's the only episode where he introduces the child's name. Of course it's going to be Dave's episode.
Yeah, so this has been around for a while. There was actually a Reddit comment in a Reddit thread on The Mandalorian, like, a few months ago? I don't know. 3 or 4 months ago or something, where somebody claimed that this was the name of the child. That they had found this out from, yes, that they had found this out from a friend or a family member or somebody who was a stunt person on the show and said that they told them that the child's name was Grogu.
Oh, so, I didn't see that.
Yeah. So whoever this person was, I wonder if they got in trouble because that's a huge
spoiler. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, so we do find out a little bit of backstory on Grogu as well. It turns out that he was trained on the Jedi Temple on Coruscant.
Yes, so he was being raised on the Jedi Temple, like as a youngling.
And he was trained by many masters, and he was there when Order 66 took place.
Yeah, so some unknown Jedi got him and spirited him away, and then things kind of go dark for him after that. Like, he doesn't really remember. I think he's got some PTSD.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I would too.
Yeah, well, obviously. So, it's interesting that he may very well have witnessed Anakin slaughtering younglings.
Do you think that he doesn't talk because he has PTSD?
It's possible. I mean, it's so hard to tell with, like, what age he's supposed to be and developmentally where he is, you know, because he very much seems like a like a toddler, like around a 1 year old, who you would expect to have a few words.
Right.
But we don't know how this race develops. We don't know how they move through, you know, developmental milestones. So it's really hard. And the fact that she was talking about how he'd been trained for several, with several masters, also, it makes me question the whole developmental saga of this particular species, because 50 years is kind of, it's not that long, but if he's a baby, he's still like a 1 year old at 50. What were all these previous masters doing other than like changing diapers using the force? Like, I just, train a baby? How do you train a literal infant? Because
I don't know.
50 years ago, 20 years ago, he was probably a literal infant. It doesn't, I don't know. There's some wonky timeline things that I kind of wonder how much they've thought this through.
Right. I'm sure we'll get more explanation with that, but it is cool to know that he was there during the Clone War, and he was there during Order 66. And I want to know who that Jedi was that spirited him, that like took him away.
But and how did she not know? Because she would have been a youngling when he was a youngling.
But maybe they never had any classes together. I don't know.
They didn't have the same class schedule. It's fine.
They saw like if they're passing in the hall, and maybe that was it.
The Jedi are like, oh, we don't all know each other.
So this whole episode is basically, you know, Ahsoka saying, "Hey, I cannot train him because
So she tries to pull a few things. She's like, "Let me test him," and he won't listen to her.
No,
he won't listen to her. But he'll listen to Mando. And so she says, okay, he's very attached to you, and he will listen to you, and that's not a good thing.
Correct. That's attachment, and that cannot be happening for a Jedi.
Yeah.
And because she mentions, you know, Anakin, the fact that, you know, I've seen, you know, what a dark presence can do to the best of us, to a Jedi Knight, to a Jedi Master, and so...
Yeah. That was a really sad callback. Yeah. It's so interesting to me that this idea of not having attachments, you know, for Jedis are supposed to be raised from a very, very, very young age. How do they function without attachments? It's literally
a
requirement of development. You have to develop, you have to have attachments, otherwise your brain doesn't function correctly. It's so weird. It really isn't. It really makes you question the Jedi, because that's like, that's not good. That's not good. No. You guys are not making some nice choices here.
Not the best choices in the world. So yeah,
they're just letting all the Jedi youngling babies cry in their cribs. They're like, nah, let them cry it out. Let them cry it out.
Okay. So yes, Ahsoka can't train Grogu, but you know, he's like, hey, I will help you, you know, take out this magistrate and take out, you know, this force in this town. And so they do a little team up. Ahsoka kicks so much ass.
Oh my God, so much ass.
The stunt work on this episode was great. And I've noticed that in the previous two episodes that Dave directed, he didn't really have a lot of stunt work in those two episodes. So this was a very stunt heavy episode for him.
Yeah. I do feel like he is still learning the craft of directing live action.
Agreed.
You know, it's not quite up to par with the other directors, but I do feel like he'll get his footing. He'll find his footing.
Oh yeah.
It's getting there.
So basically, you know, they get into town and they are pursued. Ahsoka's pursued by
human guards and some attack droid guards. And
what did you notice? Those attack droid guards are the same droid models as from the Old Republic, the HKs.
Oh no, I didn't notice that. That's cool.
Yeah, they also, someone's found this on Twitter, on the helmet of the droids, it has the insignia of Thrawn's 7th Fleet.
Ooh, interesting.
So clearly he has a presence, which we'll talk about in a little bit as well.
What I really liked about just visually this whole thing, you know, we've gone from these Wild West Outer Worlds to this episode very much had a kind of Kurosawa feudal Japan feeling to it. And it was beautiful. It was so beautiful.
Well, and it's especially with, you know, the setting of the magistrate's, I guess, office, whatever.
House
area. Because you get these like bonsai trees, you get these like koi ponds, you get, you know, it's very Japanese influenced look.
It was very, very pretty. Her fighting style was very Asian influenced. Her the dress was very Asian influenced.
Actress who plays Morgan, not only that, but she's also a martial artist.
Yeah, well, and you can tell just by the way she moved.
Oh yeah. Critique I had for her character design is that I could like four or five shots, I could just like directly see the lace on her wig, and I was like, oh, someone fix that, please.
Yeah. That wig was a questionable.
I love the style of it, like how she has the buns in the back. I love that.
Oh, it was beautiful. Her whole outfit was gorgeous.
I don't know if it's because I've cosplayed so many times and have lace fronts, but like I can just see, like I can now clock someone's lace on like a TV show if it's not blended in properly. I'm like,
oh, absolutely. No, I've been rewatching 30 Rock, and there's this one character that's on now, and I'm like, oh my god, I never even realized before that she's wearing a wig, and now that I see it, it's not even a good wig.
Yeah.
Like, how did I never see this before?
It's sucky weird thing about being cosplayers.
Yeah. It's the curse of a cosplayer or a drag queen or anybody who works with a lot of wigs.
Yes.
Anyway.
So basically,
they go to the final showdown between
Ahsoka
and the magistrate.
Ahsoka bests Morgan, and Mando shoots
Michael Biehn. Dengar.
Yeah, he shoots not Dengar. So Ahsoka, you know, basically, you know, says, "Where's your master? Where is Grand Admiral Thrawn?" When she said that,
oh my goodness, I gasped, and I hate it because nobody else in my household knew what the hell they were talking about. I'm like, crap, dang it. Nobody's read the books and watched Rebels except me. So,
this means that she is still on her quest to find Ezra with Sabine.
Yes. So I am hoping that they are really trying to set this up as a spinoff in the search for Ezra and Thrawn and Sabine. And we get all of these. I'm just going to start fan casting and it's going to be amazing. Live action Thrawn is like, oh my god, I can only get so hard.
My version for a live action Sabine would be Jamie Chung.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
that's my casting. Anyway, she name drops Thrawn, and I'm just like, holy fucking shit. So
yeah, I know.
Here's the thing. There's a huge debate right now. People on the Twitters saying, oh, well, I don't have to watch Clone Wars Rebels to understand Mandalorian. You kind of do.
But you do.
It helps a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was definitely a lot of...
I saw people
throwing lines going, and things that were happening.
Here's the thing. I saw people going, when Bo-Katan was revealed, they go, who's this Lady Mando? And they're like, who's Ahsoka?
Exactly.
Who is, like, if you all watch the shows, you would know these questions, so do your homework.
Yeah, I mean, the Clone Wars are almost more important than the prequels.
Now, here's the thing, you don't have to watch all the Clone Wars episodes. There's a chart going around right now that's
there's a definitive
watch.
Yeah, yeah. There was a playlist. I don't know if it's on there anymore. There was a playlist on Disney Plus that had like the major episodes that you could go through.
Oh, I remember that.
That hit all the major storylines. Yeah, so you just do that and you'd be fine.
Yes, but people going like, oh, I don't have to watch Rebels. It was a kid's show, so I never watched it. Well, you're going to be super lost.
Yeah. It was a kid's show in the same way that Star Wars is for kids, the movies. You know what I mean? It's entertaining. Okay. It's not just for kids, it's really for all
ages.
If
you watch Rebels and if you watch Clone Wars, you will get a very big payout, trust me.
Yeah. Anyway.
So that name drop, so she wins.
I gotta freak out a little bit because with that name drop, because I'm like, oh, there's always just a possibility if we could get maybe something, just even remotely, Mara Jade, just maybe, just
yeah,
something, just throw me a bone here.
Wouldn't that be something if she showed up at the very end of the season?
Right? Just come on, people, come on.
Who would you want to play a live-action Mara Jade?
Oh, I have no idea. Oh, at this point, I don't know.
Because she's supposed to be older, right?
Yeah.
In this time
period? I mean, she would be like, she'd be like Ahsoka's age.
So in her 40s?
Yeah, more or less. Maybe a little bit older than Ahsoka.
Well, wouldn't she be younger, though? Because she doesn't meet Luke until...
I don't know. This time,
well,
period.
I don't know. Anyway, I think my pick for live action Gillian or my version for live action Mara Jade would be Gillian Anderson.
That would be amazing. She's a little old now for this time period, right, but she is freaking gorgeous, and that would be fine.
So
I'm available. No, I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah,
I mean you can age me up. It's fine.
You are a model from one of the books, so, you know.
I volunteer as tribute.
Yes. I will volunteer you as well for tribute. So Ahsoka, you know, Mando's about to give her Grogu, and she's like, listen, we can't do this exchange, sir. I'm so sorry. And so she tells him, though, that take the child to the ruins of a Jedi temple on Tython. And Tython, if I remember it correctly, is, I believe, a planet in the Old Republic where the Jedi were, like, huge.
Yeah, it did sound familiar, but I meant to look it up and then I didn't. Oops.
So basically, she says, place Grogu on the top of the Seeing Stone in the temple, and he can call out to another Jedi, hopefully through the Force, and he will choose his path either to become a Jedi or... you know, stick with you, almost.
I feel like that's a lot to put on the shoulders of this toddler.
So, the big thing is, who's he going to call out to? Who's going to answer the call?
Ezra will answer the call.
People are thinking it's either Ezra, or people are also thinking there's a rumor going around that a certain Jedi with a purple lightsaber might show up at the very end.
A Jedi with a what?
Purple lightsaber.
Oh, purple lightsaber.
He survived his brush with the Chancellor.
True.
So, yeah.
I was discussing this earlier with Lydia. Like, how Ahsoka and Luke have had to have met up. There's no way. There's no way that they couldn't know about each other.
Or that right now, they've no one has said anything.
Sorry?
Right now, no one has said anything. No one has confirmed they've met yet, which is...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't see how they wouldn't be meeting eventually or know of each other, because, one, there's not that many. And two, look, it wasn't that hard to find Ahsoka. Like, literally, this rando Mando is just asking about Jedi. And they're like, oh yeah, she's over there. Go get her. So...
Right.
You know, and especially, you know, now that the Empire is down and they're becoming more active again, those that were in hiding, I just feel like there's no way that she would not be on Luke's radar.
That's fair.
No way. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. And then finally she just, you know, we have this ending shot of her walking away. The music plays. We have our theme playing throughout this whole episode, which is beautifully done. And that's it. The end. So,
oh, and Lothcat.
Oh, there's Lothcat and her owl too, the Morai.
Yeah.
However you say it, was there as well.
Pretty sure. Those are hers.
Very much a Dave episode.
Every time the Lothcat came on, I was like, Lothcat! I think my husband thinks I have Star Wars Tourette's.
So, what would you give this episode? Is it going to be a 10 out of 10? Because it's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It was huge. I loved it. I loved it visually. It wasn't quite as it was a different kind of exciting than 12 was. You know what I mean? Like, very there was definitely so. Action, but it wasn't the same kind of action. It wasn't the same kind of, like, action movie action. No, it was more correct. Like, this is a cool ninja movie action kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very cool.
Yeah, I was
the
very
choreography
happy
was awesome. Costumes were awesome. It absolutely makes sense that she would just be like, yeah, I can't take him on. I can't do this. Because you would think that she has got a massive amount of PTSD from dealing with the Clone Wars and from Anakin turning. And I mean, we don't, you know, as far as she know, he died evil. We don't know if she knows that he turned back.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't know if she knows that there was ever a redemption for him, because we don't know if she's ever met up with Luke or if she ever will. So it is very within her character, I think, to just say, I can't do this. I'm not the right person for this.
I agree. Yeah, I thought it was great. I loved it all. I cannot say enough good things about this episode. Really yes, can't.
Very much enjoyed it. Can't wait to see where it's going next.
So that wraps us up here, guys. What a whirlwind. It was a long episode, but we needed it to be this long because we had a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Two big episodes. So
yes. There are only 3 episodes left after this one comes out. So we may do all 3 episodes in one. We may do 2, and then the finale is just one big long episode. I don't know yet. We're still deciding that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, follow us on Echo Station Cast on Twitter. And then anywhere where you get your podcast from, type in Echo Station Podcast. You will find us there. Chris, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheDirtWitch and on Instagram at ChrisJaded.
And then myself at IR Turner on the Twitters and House of Turner Cosplay on Instagram on Facebook. We cannot wait to see what's next because there's a lot. Apparently, there's a roller coaster of emotions will happen in these last 3 episodes, is what we've been told online. So we have to brace for that. But in the meantime, guys, stay healthy, stay happy, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.